You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, it's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is up, it dog? That we do? We give the people, We have a lot of NBA action to get to, but we start with the game that kept me way up past my bedtime. It was CP3 in the fourth quarter. The conductor of the orchestra that is the Suns offense got them the win with these assists at the end of the game. Jalen, top two teams in the West. What did you learn watching the game last night?
As a man with extremely high faith that I have it in the point God, even when Devin Booker goes out of the game, in the fourth quarter, how he just masterfully got Phoenix into their offense, got whatever shot they wanted. He always keeps his turnovers down, and they still found a way to spread the basketball around and win a game without their leading scorer. That was truly impressive against the Golden State Warriors. And then the other thing about him that can't get overlooked, in slowing down Steph Curry, you see that play that is going to go down in infamy. Left side, Steph behind the back, CP3 falls down, knocks down the jumper. Well, last night, CP3 and the Phoenix Suns locked up. They won't let me out. Five steals for CP3. Held Steph to probably his worst shooting game of the season. So it was a team effort. And collectively about the Suns, one more thing I want to point out. They use less specialists than most teams. Mm. In the NBA, they normally have one guy to rebound, one guy to set a pick, one guy to make threes, one guy that can pick and roll. Like, they have basketball players. And when the Golden State Warriors were getting into their dribble handoff situations or a lot of their cut situations to try to create a misdirection, they could just switch it. Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, Cam Payne, and Crowder with CP3. And that allowed them to stay in front of Steph, contest a lot of shots. Terrific job defensively.
There was a little bit of a blueprint that was established last night, switching on all of the off-ball actions to limit Steph Curry the way that he cuts. Mikal Bridges did an amazing job, and also DeAndre Ayton. Like, the Warriors are not that big. And when you have someone like DeAndre Ayton taking so many shots around the basket, you can kind of punish them. Do you think this defense on Steph, especially from Mikal Bridges, and the size of the Suns, created a blueprint that could be replicated for other teams to beat the Warriors?
I just believe that a guy like Ayton isn't on every team. There are a lot of bigs in the league, Jacoby, that graduate into shooting jump shots. We just celebrated Valanciunas and Vucevic for doing this. But for the Phoenix Suns, they need DeAndre Ayton to get points in the paint and punish smaller defenses. So for him to commit to that and for them to now feed him and be as effective as he is doing so, that definitely became a difference maker.
And one thing, if you're a Suns fan, that's nice to look at is they did this without Devin Booker. Devin Booker went down in the second quarter, and now you're looking at the Suns team. They haven't lost since, like, Halloween. Like, we were, like, eating trick-or-treat candies the last time they lost a basketball game. And to come back and play the entire second half without Devin Booker, to beat the team that previously had the best record in the NBA, it really does prove that while people did kind of key-key about their path to the finals last year, this team is, if not the best team in basketball, at least one of the three or four best teams in basketball right now.
And Monty Williams, his ability to continue to reinvent that roster. And you're right. If we had to do a pole position, that's the beautiful thing about sports. They're actually keeping score. So right now you have to give the Phoenix Suns the mantle of being the best team in the NBA because they just took down the Warriors. And now if you're the Warriors, you go back to the drawing board and say, this is why we need Klay Thompson to be a version of himself. This is why we need Wiseman on the inside to guard against some of the interior offense of a DeAndre Ayton. And so they're going to continue to reinvent who they are. It's clearly the two best teams, not only in the Western Conference, but in the NBA. They got a few games coming up recently. It's going to be great theater.
We have two more of these matchups before the year is over. One on Christmas. I can't wait for those. We also had a little appetizer to the entree that was this Western Conference game. It is the battle for New York City. The Knicks traveled to Brooklyn, to Barclays, to play the Nets. And guess who showed up, Mr. Rose? That guy. James Harden showed up.
He did. And I want to shout my sister and former boss, Amina Hussein, because watching the TNT coverage, and they always crush it at what they do. When I saw Wild Wild West for the Western Conference game, and I saw New York State of Mind, Nas Illmatic, it just took me back to the days, man, when we was trying to get Mobb Deep to finally re-record Survival of the Fittest. And you know how long it lasted? Game one of the NBA Finals. So when I see James Harden going to the basket, and he's engaged in this matchup, it reminded me that what I said and what I saw, my eyes weren't deceiving me, that he wasn't as disinterested until last night. And it took the fans of the Knicks being in the arena louder than the Nets. It took them giving Julius Randle MVP chance, in particular in the first half. A guy like Harden, like, wait a minute, like he said post-game, this is why I came here. And I like to see him attacking. And usually when he scores above 20 this year, it's because he's getting to the free throw line. He was also able to do that. And then as the game progresses, this is something they still got to figure out. They're playing without Joe Harris. I get that. But giving the ball to KD is always a terrific remedy. However, it's a lot of tough shots that he has made, shown that he's an all-time great at doing so. But then that's that possession when he's on the left side and he shoots the air ball when he's off balance. So yep. They have to find a way to get him easier shots, because if he's turning and anybody's on his hip, he posting up Julius Randle, he jab stepping a smaller guy, like he's gonna get buckets, but they gotta find a way to get him either on the move and or being a lot more decisive.
It's a good point, because when you watch the Suns-Warriors game, you see how CP3 gets such easy shots for his teammates in the fourth quarter. You see how, while he didn't shoot well, you see the way that the Warriors work Steph to get him easy shots. It seems like these Nets teams are just like, all right, you take the ball and do whatever you got to do. You know, it's like, hey, KD, you take the ball and create yourself a basket. And last night, he didn't until the fourth quarter when they needed him, he did.
And he's going to always basically deliver. Like, that's the easy money sniper. Like, he's one of the top, 15 players in the history of basketball? One of the greatest, most prolific scorers in the history of basketball? A four-time scoring champ who's waffling on a nightly basis with Steph Curry about who's going to lead the league in scoring? And so, I mean, you can become reliant on that. But when you're going against better defenses and they're making him work on the other end as well, you just got to help them out some. And we saw how that ended up last year against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, Jalen, you mentioned that KD was one of the top 15 players of all time, undoubtedly one of the top five players of all time. LeBron James was not available for the Lakers. He's in the health and safety protocols. We can't say that he tested positive. We don't know what happened. However, he's in the protocol, but that was not a problem for the Lakers when they faced the Kings. Because AD showed up, Russell Westbrook showed up, and the big three was a big two last night.
AD, Russell, Malik Monk been giving them good minutes as well.
Yep.
I just love to see AD's aggression, whether LeBron's in or out. And I like that he's trying to make a concerted effort to play every night, whether it's during the preseason or during the regular season. Yeah, I know he just missed recently, but I see him trying to do that, and I appreciate him showing up every night. But I got to ask you something about you introducing this topic. That you, one of the greatest LeBron James stands of all time, say one of the top five players?
Because that's
of all we can time?
No, the reason I said that, Mr. Rose, is to, exactly to avoid this. It's undebatable he's one of the top five. So it was just to avoid the conversation, I said top five, because I don't want to go back and forth with you about number one, two, three, four, or five, okay?
Gotcha.
I tried to avoid this exact moment by saying he was top five.
Gotcha. I love you too, and you look handsome today. But this is a lot more about the Sacramento Kings. You remember on Saturday morning, it was like, I think the song, Conjunction Junction,
what's your function? Of course.
Working,
of course.
That was classic,
I'm over 40,
right?
Dog.
I don't know their function. Like, they've had, 11 coaches in the last 15 years?
Exactly right. 11 coaches in the last 15 years. That's hard to do as a franchise. That means you're paying a lot of head coaches not to coach your basketball team like Luke Walton.
And then when you have good players that are ascending like Boogie or like Isaiah Thomas, you're not finding a way to make them work. And then they go other places and become all-stars.
Yep.
By the way, Isaiah Thomas should be back in the league right now. Good to see Boogie back in the league. But again, the Kings, the longest playoff drought in the league, 11 coaches in 15 years, like, identity is the thing that comes to mind. I love De'Aaron Fox. I like that Buddy Hield's a shooter. They have some pieces. I mean, they're an NBA team, but they got a long ways to go.
Well, Mr. Rose, when you talk about this team and the drought that they've had 15 years, like Peja Stojakovic, White Chocolate, Vlade Divac, like that's like the last time that they were in the playoffs, and they're going to miss the playoffs again and become the longest playoff drought in the history of the NBA, something your Pistons can't even claim. But Mr. Rose, let's celebrate the Michigan Wolverines football team. They beat Ohio State, and we haven't talked about it enough on this program. We have some new information about that win right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's Fee Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Doubleheader in college basketball tonight on ESPN, starting with Louisville against Michigan State at 7:15. And then it is the Juwan Howard-led Michigan Wolverines against North Carolina at 9:15. I know Jalen will be watching that one. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, coming to you live from the Seaport, New York City, and brought to you by Chase. The basketball team plays tonight, Jalen, but the Michigan Wolverines football team played on Saturday. I don't know if you've heard yet, but they beat the Ohio State Buckeyes for the first time in a decade, and they are now the number two team in the nation. How do you feel about this as they head into the Big Ten championship game?
And shout out to my daughter Mariah, who is a senior at Georgia, because the Dogs are ranked number one. If those two teams play in the college football playoff championship, would be so amazing. With that being said, hail to the victors. You know what? I'm going to act like I have class. We beat Ohio State all the time.
Okay.
Matter of fact, no, we don't.
Jalen. Let me just
go
put
blue.
Some thoughts into your head, okay? Let's just temper your excitement for a second, because it would be so Michigan to lose in the Big Ten championship game. It would be so Michigan to lose in the Big Ten championship game. How confident are you going into this weekend's contest in Indianapolis?
So you just threw me a lob. Principal at JRLA, Wendy Lewis, Magic, Steve Smith, Jamel Hill. That's not what Michigan does. That's what State does. they win a big game against us and then go and get waxed a couple of more games and fall to the mid-20s. That ain't what we do. We're going to focus on Iowa this weekend. We're going to stay disciplined. We're going to take care of our business. And then we'll focus on the college football playoff. But we ain't getting ahead of ourselves because Haskins got more work to do on this Heisman. Yep. And I already see it. Three touchdowns this weekend. That'll be 8 the last 2 weekends. And then before you know it, Desmond Howard, Charles Woodson. You know where they went? Michigan. You know when they vote? Heisman. They're going to be talking. You're going to be talking. We're going to be talking about our guy. Haskins in that race. Stay tuned.
Well, it was such a great drive that they had at the end of the game against Ohio State. When Ohio State knew they were going to run the ball, yet they continued to run the ball. Great blocking, great running. If you can, like Michigan, run the ball, rush the quarterback, you've always got a chance. And I think that they will end up in the college football playoffs. Can't wait to see that. But first, they have to win the Big Ten. Now, Jalen, there's some other news in college athletics that involves you directly. It is some news that matters. Jalen, the news that matters is this new report. And I can't believe I'm saying this. The name Jalen is officially the most popular name in collegiate men's basketball. There are more Jalens than Mikes. There are more Jalens than Johns. There are more Jalens than Josh's. Jalen is now the official most popular name in men's basketball. How does that make you feel?
Rest in peace to Jeannie Cassandra Rose, my mother, who's my angel right over my shoulder, who created the name. And I just tried to do what I could to popularize it. I was talking to Wu-Tang's own Raekwon the Chef about this. I talked to Nasir Jones about this, Denzel, Shaquille O'Neal about this. The biggest honor is when somebody comes up to you and tell you they named their son or their daughter after you. It's more than just a name. That means that they respect and appreciate you enough to name their pride and joy after you, because names have a lot of symbolization. So I'm really humbled by it, and it's something I don't take for granted.
Well, Jalen, unlike Raekwon, Denzel, and Shaquille, there are white people named Jalen. That's how popular the name Jalen has become. There are white people walking this planet named Jalen after you. Congratulations
and
on this.
Girls.
And we haven't seen the last Jalens in college basketball or professional basketball. Jalen, we have some
Shout
news.
Shout to the young lady Jalens, too.
From Aaron Rodgers, who was on the Pat McAfee show, and here's what he had to say about his toe.
We're hoping that with a couple weeks here, we can get enough healing that maybe we can avoid doing that. Now we'll reassess, like I said, probably later this week and early next week. But the ultimate goal is to not have to do surgery. This thing heals up a little bit better and kind of make it through a few more weeks and maybe it doesn't bother you the last few weeks of the season.
Jalen, he's talking about having surgery on his injured toe. Do you think Aaron Rodgers should have surgery mid-season on his healing toe?
Aaron, I would love to see you win the NFC and even win the Super Bowl before you leave Green Bay to go to Detroit. Like, I would love to see that happen. But I got some advice for you. You've been working for that company for 15 years and you're on the final year of your contract. You haven't made the decision whether you want to be there long term. I would say you go get surgery immediately, go get healthy, and hopefully you can come back and play this season. But if you can't play this season, focus on what's gonna be your future the next 2 to 5 or so years or beyond after we watch Tom Brady. Oh my goodness. Definitely get surgery.
I would advise him against getting surgery. Look how pretty my feet are. I got pretty feet. It is not pretty what is happening in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. There is some very interesting drama regarding what they are doing for practice. Oh no. Oh, look how dirty your feet are, dog. What happened? What was that? No. No. What is on your foot? No. Go to break. Brandy, go to break. We gotta stop this. We're gonna get canceled. It is V Week at ESPN, and our partnership with the V Foundation highlights the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. Jalen, it's been a tough season for the Pittsburgh Steelers, in particular Ben Roethlisberger. In an attempt to sort of enhance the mood at practice, Claypool said they should listen to music. Here is what Claypool said and how Tomlin responded.
I think like maybe some music would help, but we have music in the warm-ups, and that's always fun. People are dancing, having fun, so I think maybe music would make practice a little more fun and a little more up-tempo. That's my one suggestion, but Coach T's been doing this a lot longer than I have, so.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
I love Mike Tomlin so much. He's like, Claypool plays wide out. I'll let him do that. When it comes to practice, I'll take care of that. That's how we divide the labor. What do you think about this controversy in Pittsburgh?
That's the key, to divide the labor part. That's coach versus player. That's parent versus son or daughter. And here's the thing. You actually, like Claypool said, who's a talented receiver, has a chance to be a legitimate number one. And part of his struggles, 9 TDs last year, only one this year, he's dealt with some injuries, is that this should be Big Ben's last year starting. So I'll say that too. But they play music in the warm-ups and during the game, and it still hasn't helped them win as much as he hopes to win. So playing it in practice ain't gonna matter. I'm with Mike Tomlin on this, no doubt about it.
Well, watching the Steelers, I don't think they're a couple songs away from winning the AFC. Let's just say that. Mr. Rose, tonight, the Michigan Wolverines are in action against the Tar Heels of North Carolina. How do you feel about this matchup? Are you confident going into it?
I'm extremely confident about the matchup. So much so, look at Desmond. That's how confident I am. We got a Heisman contender on the roster at Haskins. He had 5 touchdowns. You see Desmond throw at the Heisman polls against Ohio State. And you see Woodson. Where's Greasy? Might be that time. But let's stay focused. Take care of business against Iowa first.
Big game this weekend for the football team in Michigan. Big game tonight for the basketball team. I predict Juwan will get them a win. Harbaugh will get them a win. Everything is coming up Michigan as long as you're not focusing on the Detroit Lions. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock, ESPN2. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Big shout to my guy Charlie in Starbucks, who listens to the podcast every single day. He expedites my orders in Starbucks. Jalen, there's something that we need to talk about. My sister-in-law.
What's that?
Shout out to Judy. She just left yesterday after a week at the crib. And I have a joke every year that Snoop Dogg said for a reason that he was getting funky on a mic like an old batch of collard greens. Like, he said that intentionally with intent for a reason, because old batches of collard greens are funky. And you know I don't like leftovers. I'll eat a little leftovers on Friday after Thanksgiving, maybe some mac and cheese on Saturday. But after Saturday night, if it turns into Sunday, if I'm watching NFL football, no more leftovers. My sister-in-law ate collard greens from Thanksgiving on Tuesday. I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
Is eating old leftovers cultural? And when are you looking at Thanksgiving food and saying, I can't rock with you anymore?
So this is kind of cultural in a lot of ways, and let me tell you why. This is gonna distinguish everything you just said very clearly for the audience. Were those collard greens in the refrigerator or freezer?
Refrigerator.
That's the line of demarcation. Those should have been in the freezer.
Now, I have collard greens in the freezer from last Thanksgiving as well, and I'm not touching those either. Like, when my wife makes collard greens, my wife is an amazing cook. She threw it down this Thanksgiving. God bless her. But when she makes collard greens like she's cooking for like the army base that we went to in Doha. You know what I mean? Like, you know the pot that I'm talking about. Like, the pot that barely fits underneath the fan. Like, right. The pot's, like, as tall as, like, my daughter, who's six. You know the pot that I'm talking about. And she'll fill that thing with collard greens and whatever meats that and flavors that she needs to get it done. And they're delicious. But after Saturday, I ain't rocking with the whole batch of collard greens. I ain't doing it.
That's hilarious. Something if else they I were in the refrigerator,
what's the yeah? When do you look at Thanksgiving food and say I'm not rocking with you anymore? What time? What day?
That's where I was going. So when it's been in the refrigerator, there's a reason why it's funky like an old batch of collard greens. When we black people put things in the freezer, oh, it's a Keith Sweat song, make it last forever.
No.
And ever.
No. I call that zombie food. Like, zombie food. Don't give me zombie meats. Don't give me zombie foods that you're resurrecting from the dead. Like, no. No hey, thank dog. You. No zombie
Let
food.
Me tell you
no
something.
Walking Dead food for me, dog.
Right. Today is December 1st. A black person could go into a market and get some chicken that expires December 7th. December 5th. As long as they put it in the freezer, they feel like they can eat that anytime.
Mm-mm.
January 5th, June 5th, December 5th of next year. And so her eating the collard greens but not putting them in the freezer, to me, that's the breaking news and the shocking development here.
Well, like I said, we literally have collard greens in the freezer from last year. And no one's eating those. No one's defrosting those.
So
no one's
eating those. I have a cultural or regional question.
Okay.
So because your wife is an amazing cook.
She is.
Does she now bully you into not believing that you could throw anything that's older away?
Well, listen. Most of the time my wife is mad at me, it's because I threw something away while I was cleaning that she was gonna use for some other purpose. Like if she cooks
that
chicken,
she wasn't gonna be using for another purpose.
Yeah, if she cooks chicken and I clean the pan, she's like, you just ruined the sauce.
Those
like,
sauces.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm cleaning it. You already cooked the chicken and took it out of the pan. I'm just cleaning the pan. Like,
no,
she gets
dog.
So
hit
mad
the brakes,
at me for cleaning.
Hit the brakes.
And I'm always just like, I'm sorry for cleaning, Joey. Sorry I cleaned everything. My bad. My bad for cleaning.
No. I don't need you to clean pots and pans while I'm cooking. Especially ones that got great seasonings in them. We call those the juices and berries. You know what I'm saying? You gotta leave that in there.
We call those the juices and berries. Who calls juices? Who calls it juices and berries?
You know what I'm saying?
That's
like that Crisco can, that blue one that sat on the stove for like 2 years at a time, and all you did was wipe it off and change the paper towel underneath it.
No.
Like, is that? Using the same fish grease, chicken grease, French fry grease. Making popcorn in it, doing all of that, all purpose. You thought Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson was something. That Crisco grease, boy, I tell you. You know what I'm saying? All purpose. You can use it as lotion. Rub it in your skin like lotion. I've done it. So
he said you can use it as lotion. Let me find out that you're taking some old chicken grease from 3 weeks ago that's congealed and hard, and you're dipping your fingers in there and rubbing that on your body.
Hit them elbows and knees. Hit them elbows and knees, dog.
No.
Hit
you know
them
what?
Elbows and knees.
Let me just tell you something that's definitely
something.
Cultural. Do you know what's cultural?
Hey, dog. You know what's cultural? I got to tell you. When we are ashy, and you saw what happened to KD that game, when
you
they showed his ankle.
You know what? That, you know, broke shout the to internet. KD. Shout to KD. You say, you know what? KD took too much flack for that one. Like, there's one little sliver, like a millimeter, like between his socks and his like compression pants. There's one millimeter that the internet zoomed in on. He's like, no, I'm wearing clothes, all right? Like, that's not supposed to be out there. My bad. I didn't lotion up before the game. Like, I remember on my basketball team, we had a very diverse basketball team when I was a young man. And before the games, there was two factions of people. There was the lotioning people and the non-lotioning people. It was like, we probably had like six black dudes and six white dudes on the team. And the black dudes would have one bottle of lotion, passing it around between everybody. And the rest of us would just sit there looking at them and be like, what? Are we going to the beach?
What are y'all doing?
Like, I didn't understand it. Like, we had to have like a team meeting one time.
Going to the beach.
And be like, what? Like, are we putting suntan lotion on? Like
whenever you get confused, think about Ashy KD trending. That's why.
I guess so.
That's why.
You know, I never use lotion. I never use lotion. Never use lotion. Never, ever, ever.
And still, to this day,
to
like
this day,
Deontay Wilder,
never use lotion.
What do
never
you
use lotion. I don't
How
use
do
anything to moisturize my skin.
How do
I'm
you
a white person.
Your skin?
White people don't need that kind of moisture levels. It's natural. I've got sweaty hands. I've got a sweaty body. I'm naturally moisturized. There's nothing ashy about me. Maybe my feet from time to time. White people don't use lotion. I'm saying that there's a subset of Caucasian Americans like myself that do not use lotion. Don't use it.
So let me get this right. And we need to call 98580 Jalen to confirm or deny any of this from our Caucasian listeners, because recently there have also been some celebrities that talked about not bathing their kids.
Completely different.
So
don't
let
you
me
dare.
Get this right.
Don't you dare. Accuse me
so
of not bathing
asking.
My children.
What did you say?
Don't accuse me of not bathing my children. That's insane.
I didn't say you. What I'm saying is, so that means that you're letting me know that there's a segment of the population that A, isn't using lotion, and now B, that I learned, isn't bathing their kids. So clearly they're not using lotion either. Got it. That's all I wanted to know.
I do lotionize my children from time to time when they look ashy, because they are, you know, African American. You know what I mean? They're African American. So sometimes they do get ashy, but I personally do not get ashy. My elbows moisturized. My knees moisturized. You know, like, it's just,
nah,
I just never used it.
Let me tell you something. This amazing melanin needs some lotion, some moisturizer.
Every day you moisturize.
Yes. I take like at least two showers a day, dog. You know, that's one of my things, like showers.
Yeah, I take two showers a day. Take one shower in the morning, one shower after yoga. My son told me yesterday that I smelled like sweat. And I was like, bro, I just took a shower an hour ago. Okay? I do not smell like sweat.
He was trying to get on your case. Like, you know
He's
how that be
jerk.
Sometimes.
He's being a jerk.
Right, exactly. You're just trying to be mean to me for no reason. No, I don't. Get out of here.
That's what he does. Call 985-80 Jalen. We need to hear from white people that use lotion, white people that don't use lotion. Is it just me? Am I just so sweaty and clammy that I don't need to? Or is this a phenomenon? This is going to be an investigation. We're going to get Bob Lee involved. We're getting Bob Lee involved.
Exactly.
We're getting Bob Lee
Love
involved
Bob Lee
in this
so
one.
Much.
Getting Bob Lee
Good
out
one.
Of retirement for this one.
Good one.
We got to do this investigation.
I like what you did there.
Urban Meyer says he has no interest in returning to college to coach for any of the potential vacancies that are out there. If you're Urban Meyer, someone offers you $100 million for a 10-year deal, do you bounce on the Jaguars?
Yes, of course.
Of course.
You saw Chip Kelly. Ain't no
He's
question.
Gone.
You saw
gone.
His interview and everything. A lot
gone.
Of people will sit back and talk about what they'll say and what they do. Somebody offer you $100 million, you there.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know that part.
Could I chop off your right pinky for $100 million with a meat cleaver?
No. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You'll do that for the discounted rate of $5 million.
No, not five. I'd do it for five. I'd do it for five. Sure. Sure. wouldn't have to talk to you every day. My kids' college funds would be filled.
And then wire the money over as soon as you did it.
Oh, yeah. Five could get
not
you.
In increments.
Five could turn into a thing. Like, if you invest five properly, you've got, like, six figures coming in. So you could turn that into a career just from having five. But not five pre-taxes. I need a tax-free five. All right?
Correct.
If we're negotiating for my left pinky, I need that
correct.
Post-tax five.
Yeah, you need Lincoln Riley's agent to negotiate for you.
Yeah, the idea that you don't watch Succession, but the idea that Lincoln Riley got things in his contract that Logan Roy couldn't get in his contract is insane to me. And the people that watch Succession are rocking with me right now. He got the PJ. He got use of the PJ for the family. And then they bought his two houses in Oklahoma for $500,000 more than listing price, which hasn't even been set yet. And they're giving him $5 million to buy a house in LA. What's the $100 million for? If y'all giving me a PJ and buying my homes at a premium and buying me a new home, what's he doing with the 100 mil? Like,
and bought the home in Oklahoma too.
Two of them, two in Oklahoma, buying him one in Southern California, giving him use of the PJ whenever he wants with his family, and giving him $100 million on top of that. Like, he better win some games for them, man.
I'm gonna do the kind of deal. I'm not spending none of this 100. Y'all paying everything. I'm just pocketing this 100. That's what I'm gonna do.
I don't like it when people do that. Like Jay Leno's like, I never spent any of my late night checks. I'm like, come on, dog. Like, don't tell us that. You know what I mean? Don't tell us that. You know, no one wants to know that. Okay, Jay Leno.
How about my guy Ricky Henderson, one of the greatest base stealers and baseball players of all time? He first got his check from the Oakland A's, and you know what my brother did? He just framed it.
Put it in the locker. Yeah, Manny had that. Manny Ramirez famously, just in his locker in Fenway Park, just had tons of uncashed paychecks just sitting there in a stack. I wish I had so much money that I didn't have to track down every single cent that ever came in. You know what I mean? I wish money was coming in that I didn't notice. Because you're rich, Jalen. You got that mailbox money.
Residual.
You know what I mean? You got mailbox money. Your money makes money for you. You got financial managers watching your financial managers and lawyers watching them.
I was gonna tell you immediately what you was gonna become when you got that $5 million.
What's that?
A real estate mogul.
Oh, I can't
wait.
That's
a new title.
I can't wait.
That's new title right there.
I'll buy something in Long Island and put it on Airbnb so fast. Get a professional to come and take pictures, and then hire somebody to manage the property. I wouldn't even have a key to the place that I owned. Just hire somebody to rent it out. Then hire somebody to take some pictures and send me the checks. Man, I'm getting sad. I need to make more money.
Real estate mogul. I got a new job for you.
Jalen, I promised people yesterday that you would take us through your new background. I'm giving you 5 minutes on the clock, okay? Tell me, because I know you care about that background more than you care about most things in life. Like, if you don't have Jalen's last name, he doesn't care about you as much as the background.
So, I consider myself the background overlord. You know, I help bring the culture to the mainstream by realizing that YouTube videos, after doing them on Periscope, were actually being viewed by human beings. So therefore, not only do I want people to hear what I'm saying and be able to articulate myself intelligently about sports, politics, entertainment, current events, fashion, travel, cooking, whatever the topic is, but I also wanted the substance of the show to also speak when I'm not talking. And the number one way you do that on television sometimes is full screens, is B-roll. But another way to also do it is your background. People aren't necessarily gonna tune in to watch the show based on who's on your background. However, a creative background, as I taught the multimedia lexicon, can now be like an album cover for an artist. It can be like a tattoo for an analyst. And you should look at it and not necessarily know everybody or know everything about it because it's not you and it's not your hometown. Imagine if somebody in mainstream media represented your hometown and said, I'm gonna take about 10 or 15 things distinctly from that city, not from the state of Michigan, but distinctly from Detroit. Not athletes that played in Detroit, but strictly embody Detroit. Imagine if you did that exercise in your hometown. What would it be that could tell the story? So for me, you gotta have the Ambassador Bridge. That's our gateway to hope. It separates Michigan from Canada, and it also pulls in Southwest Detroit where I went to high school. If you watched the BMF documentary, I'm sorry, if you watched the BMF series on Stars, shout out to Lil Meech who's crushing it. You'll know how I had to get Southwest, South Southwest in there. Detroit Bad Boys speak for itself. The roughest conglomerate of champions that the NBA has seen, and help usher in not only logos and names branded by teams, but also that squad, also Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Chuck Daly. The Pistons are my favorite team. My biological father got drafted by them. Dave Bing is my godfather. Tom Gores, their owner, is my good friend. I go to games. I'll be at the Oklahoma City game this Monday, watching two teams that have probably 10 wins total. That's my squad. Blade Icewood, you see him with the fur around the hood, with the Scully on. If you're from the Bay Area, I guess he's like Mac Dre. Or if you're from Cali, he's like Nipsey Hussle to Detroit. Taken so very young, had so much potential. And you see the words, what up, though, at the top with the old English D, not a regular D, the Detroit Tigers D, the notable D, like NY for New York, or like the B for Boston, or the LA for the Dodgers. Like, the old English D is notable. Y'all saw Cube and Boys in the Hood. Y'all saw Tom Selleck on Magnum P.I. back in the day, putting on for the D. And then I gotta have icons. Like, these are some of the greatest people at what they do that I ain't gonna even take too much time to explain to you guys who Rosa Parks is. If you don't know that, you should just Google it. Who Aretha Franklin is. You don't know it, you should just Google it. It's the iconic women. Two of the most iconic women to walk the face of the earth. The gentleman sitting on my shoulder, Indian style, is the spirit of Detroit. You see the Motown Hitsville House USA led by Berry Gordy. So many talented, amazing artists. You see Belle Isle Park, The Rock. That's our signature park downtown. That's like prime real estate in the city. You see a representation of J.R. Lay, the charter school I founded 10 years ago. You see the flag flying in front of the Renaissance Center. That's the great, beautiful building with the amazing structure. The goal of Detroit was to have a skyline, a lake line, Detroit River line of all gray buildings that looked immaculate like that. But we didn't get there, certainly last but not least. My dear mother, Jeannie Cassandra Rose, who created the name Jalen, who's over my shoulder watching all of these proceedings like my angel. So in a nutshell, that's who and what this background represents. I could have went to Target or Myers and bought a board to put it up there, or I could just be somebody to put a book up there, but that ain't what I established. Y'all saw the past background, and images of the past background have been copy, cut and paste by so very many. And imitation is the best form of flattery. And I'm so very happy to share that with you, my brother, on this stage we call Jalen and Jacoby.
Mr. Rose, I appreciate you taking our listeners through that visual tapestry that will be behind you for who knows how long. I appreciate the time and effort you put into it, not just your background, but this program, because every single day we give the people what they want. And we will be back tomorrow with another dope pod of Step 2. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.